Good morning and welcome to our Lord's Day service, and we hope that the service is a blessing to you. We want to welcome, along with our music director, Colin Welford, Allie Babich and Jeffrey Herbst, who are with us today. We're so delighted that they are back to share this worship service with us. And let us now turn our hearts to worship the Lord. Watchword for the week is taken from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 5. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. Please join us in singing, They Who Jesus' Followers Are. to that time of worship where we bring our prayer concerns and our praise reports. We want to remember in prayer the family of Karsten Topelman, our dear friend of the church, friend of Ephraim, artist, passed away this week. And Karsten was a jewel here in Ephraim. We will miss him terribly. And we want to remember his family, especially in our prayers today. We want to remember Audrey, who's a young woman, friend of some folks in our congregation, who's dealing with very serious health issues. And we want to continue to pray for Tammy and Jewel Ann, Ray, Kevin, Rhea, Dean, Jack, Jaden, and Madeline. Would you join me in prayer? Lord our God, in whom we live and move and have our being, we are so grateful to be here today. We are so grateful for your mercy, your love, and your kindness which surrounds us. We're so grateful for the life of Karsten Topelman, so grateful for the beauty that he gave to us, the beauty that's in our homes, the beauty that surrounds this little village. And we know that his work will live on for many generations. We bring before you his family as they deeply mourn the loss of their father. We ask that you would be with Lars and Monique and Lisa, that you would grant to them your grace beyond measure. Lord, we would remember Audrey in our prayers, and we lift her up today, that you would surround her with your healing mercy. And for those who continue to struggle, life is a struggle each and every day with chronic illness. We ask that you would be especially with Tammy, Jewel Ann, Ray, Kevin, Rhea, Dean, Jack, Jaden, and Madeline, that you would undergird them with your strength. We ask all these mercies in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our scripture lesson is taken from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthian church, chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I even hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our reflection is written by Reverend Corey Kemp. Celebrating Valentine's Day comes as we complete a year of living with a global pandemic. It's a mixed bag of emotions we're about today, isn't it? On the one hand, expressing joyous affection with cards, treats, and gestures for those we love is timeless and it is fun. On the other hand, even though we are beginning to see the hoped-for light at the end of the tunnel through worldwide vaccination programs, we are still wearing face masks, keeping our distance, and doing Zoom candlelight dinners. It's not quite the same. In a world shut down to protect our collective health, what is? Well, love is. Love is still the same as it has always been. Love is still patient, kind, generous, modest, humble, and polite. Love allows other people to have their way sometimes without being irritable or resentful of them. Love may help another see the error of their ways, but those who love rejoice because situations are made right, realigned for the greatest good of all, not because they are right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love does not end, ever. Even the harsh everyday realities of a pandemic, a massive situation full of inconvenience, challenges, loss, economic hardship, and deprivation will eventually come to an end. Because unlike love, pandemics do end. What is important is that we keep moving through these days is to remember what love is, what it looks like, and that we can choose to keep receiving and sharing it. God is love, and God's love for us is real, everlasting, and inclusive. No one is left out, and everybody who wants to gets to participate. As the Apostle Paul wrote, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall understand fully, even as I have been fully understood." So faith, hope, love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Amen.
Wonderful roses, they There were bells
on the hill,
but I never heard them ringing. No, I never heard them at all till there was you.
Never heard them at all.
There were birds
in the sky,
but I never heard them singing.
That all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, there's a reason why that very romantic song was sung today, because I'm going to preach about true love, which has nothing to do with romance. But the reason that song was sung was actually I asked for it. And it's because a year ago, on Valentine's Day weekend, I met Colin Welford. This was at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, and I was designated to speak that Sunday. And my topic was putting Cupid's arrow through the wood chipper. And when Colin, who had never met me, saw the title of my message, he decided to reach out to me since he was the guest pianist. And he said, I'm going to be playing this very romantic piece after your message, so I wanted to know if that's okay. I can always change it. Well, I thought it would be a delightful juxtaposition, so I told him to do that. And then I looked up the piece. And when I introduced my message, I sang part of it. And then at the end, Colin played with a flourish. And I thought to myself, what a ham! He should be on Broadway. And then I thought, well, you know, I wonder if he knows how to play the organ. And that was the beginning of a beautiful friendship and collaboration. So when I approached Colin last month and I said, I'd really like to reprise Valentine's Day and I'd like to reprise that song, he reminded me a year later that I had sung the wrong lyrics. So he was going to make sure that he had professionals here today to sing it right. So what are we talking about today? Valentine's Day. I remarked to Allie this morning that perhaps it should be called Happy Beheading Day because St. Valentine's was martyred on February 14th, but that probably wouldn't make for very romantic cards. So often we talk about love in terms of romance, but that denigrates the word love because romance is not a universally shared thing. Many people never experience romance in their lives, and those who do understand that it is fleeting. It doesn't last forever. It's a great way to meet, it's a great way to bond, but there has to be something else. And the something else is what's found in 1 Corinthians 13. Now, we know that 1 Corinthians 13 is used a lot in weddings, which is quite ironic because the man who wrote this did not have a romantic bone in his body. In fact, if you read earlier in the letter in 1 Corinthians, he says this, "To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is well for them to remain unmarried as I am. But if they are not practicing self-control, I guess they should marry." That's really romantic, isn't it? The reason that Paul was writing this letter was to correct some really grievous errors. The people in the Corinthian church were at odds with each other. They argued about everything. And so in the first few chapters of this letter in 1 Corinthians, he's addressing one problem after the other. They were bringing each other to court in lawsuits, and he said, you ought to be doing that. There were some who were practicing sexual immorality, and he said, it's destructive, stop. There were others that were boasting that their baptism was of more effect than somebody else's because of the person who baptized them. And he said, cut it out. And as he's addressing these problems, one after the other after the other, I think he finally had an aha moment where the heavens cleared and he diagnosed the problem. And hence, we have that 13th chapter. Because he realized underneath all of the mess that was going on in the Corinthian church was the pivotal, foundational problem. They did not love each other. And if they did not have that kind of love for each other that went beyond all of their issues, they were going to fail. And that's how we got this beautiful, lyrical passage that we think is a wedding text. It is not. It is for everyday people and how we conduct our lives. And he said, love is patient and it is kind. And it's not only the actions that we take. If we are truly to love, we have to have a different perspective. And the perspective of love is this, that every single human being is worthy, even when they act unworthily, even when they act horribly, even when they do terrible things, they are still beloved in the eyes of God. And that's the first perspective we need. We think of the great Martin Luther King Jr. as he was speaking out against injustice. You notice that he spoke very plainly. He didn't mince his words. He didn't try to sugarcoat the problem. He spoke to the powers and to people who were doing awful things and legalized awful things. And because of that, his family was hounded. His home was firebombed. He was under daily death threats. And what did he say about the people who were determined to take his life? Did he call them animals? Did he call them dogs or pigs or thugs? No, when he talked about the people who were actively seeking his harm, he said, they are my sick white brothers. That is the power of love. It's the same power that was in Jesus when he was hanging on a cross and looking down at his murderers and saying, Father, forgive them. This is the kind of love that we must appropriate. This is the kind of love that takes relationships into account. And that is how we can be kind. That is how we can be patient when we have that perspective. So often when we have an idea that we are right, we end up damaging relationships. And what Paul is saying is every time we look at a situation, we need to hold that person as God's beloved. And we need to look at that relationship and try to keep the relationship repaired. Oh, it's hard work. That's why people try to look at Valentine's Day as romance and love, because this is harder, infinitely harder, but it reaps great rewards. And the one thing that's so wonderful about this kind of love is when Paul says, love hopes all things. When we have this grounding, then we have hope. Many years ago, there were two towering figures in the abolitionist movement. They were Frederick Douglass and a woman named Sojourner Truth. Now, Frederick Douglass was a marvelous public speaker. He was brilliant. He was well-educated. Sojourner Truth was illiterate, but she was a marvelous preacher. Frederick Douglass thought her quaint and was a bit patronizing of her. Well, one day, Frederick Douglass was giving a speech that was very dangerous because he had lost hope. He had lost hope in the Union. He had lost hope that the people in power would ever do the right thing and declare slavery illegal. And so he was advocating armed resistance. And he knew that armed resistance would amount to wholesale slaughter. But he did it anyway. Shall I pause, dear?
Keep going.
Oh, okay. We're having a little technical difficulties, but we're sure it'll come on. So Frederick Douglass said that they should take up arms. And as he's advocating this and the audience is hanging on his words, all of a sudden, Sojourner Truth stood up, all 6 feet of her, and she said, Frederick, is God dead? And when she said that, the mood of the place just changed immediately. And it was so grand that they started to clap and they started to hold on to hope. And that awful thing that he had advocated, of course, didn't come to pass. That's the power of love, because love hopes all things. And so I hope in these days to come that we will reappropriate love for ourselves, that we will reappropriate the power of love, the power that can change our lives, the power to keep relationships in our grasp. I was thinking of my mother, who was a very tough Sicilian, who spoke her mind even when she was not asked to speak her mind. One time she had a boss that was really aggravating her, and he called her Little Mussolini, and it was not a compliment. And one time he had said something that was an untruth, and as he's walking away from her, she's yelling at him, "You're a liar!" But she was one of the most loving people I've ever met, too. And those same people, when they were aggravating her, when they were working against her, she would help them when they came to her for help. And I didn't understand that. But she said, well, I am working with a higher authority. I'm working for Jesus. I've got to do the right thing. But I said, how do you love people that you really hate? And she said, Dawn, I do this. She said, when I don't like somebody, I go right to Jesus and I tell Jesus, I hate their guts. And Lord, I know that's not right, but I hate them. So if I'm going to change, you're going to have to change me. And I said, so what happens? And she said, the Holy Spirit of God comes in me and I'm changed. And this is what we do when we're thinking about loving. It might not be something we can do by ourselves, but let us ask that the Holy Spirit of God come upon us and give us that love. Let us pray. Lord, I ask that you would empower us with the love of Jesus, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we're going to pause because I don't think this is on. It's not on. So let's pause. As my husband's going back and forth. Sometimes this happens. Yeah, it's still... Did you put the heat back up? Now I'm hot. That's okay. I wonder when they stop seeing it.
About halfway through.
Oh, gee. Huh. Well, I'm going to sit.
You can have another sip. Is God dead? No, it's just the Mevo.
Just the Mevo.
2 minutes.
Okay, now we're back up. Let me get back online.
Okay. But where do you think we ended? Yeah, just before I really got my point across.
I'm going to go back live.
Okay.
I don't know. The last thing I heard you talking about was about what love really means. God, Jesus on the cross and stuff.
Okay, folks, we're live again. And we're sorry for that interruption, and I'm not going to redo the whole sermon, but just to say, I guess I'll give my mother's last words, because I think that's important for us. We've been talking about how to love, and it's awfully hard when we're angry, when we're anxious, when people have been cruel to us, to really be loving. So I'll tell you what my mother's advice was. She said that when there were times that she could not love because she was very angry and she was very hurt, that she would go to Jesus and she would say, I really hate that person. In fact, I hate the person's guts. And the only way I'm going to love them, Lord, is if you give me that spirit, because otherwise it's impossible. And I said, what would happen to you? And she said, God would fill me with his love. And so I challenge us today, when we say we just can't do it, let the Lord fill you with his love. Let us pray. Lord, we're so grateful for your grace and your mercy. We're so grateful that even when we don't deserve it, you love us. And we ask, O Lord, that this day you will baptize us with your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, my brothers and sisters, this service has come to an end. Go into your week serving your Savior with love, delighting in the life God has given you. God be with you till we meet again. Amen.